Welcome, everyone. This is our Connections Over Coffee. So thank you, Sally and Raj and Marty and Linda. Thank you for being on today. It's a little bit of housekeeping. I'm going to make Linda a co-host. And of course, Sally is going to be one of my co-hosts just in case I get bumped off. They can let me back into the room. And because I am on a Wi-Fi in Florida, I'm currently in between Sarasota and Bradenton at our condo. We own a condo here. We started off as Marty knows, we started off over in Zephyr Hills and we were riding bikes and went into a coffee shop one day, many, many years ago. And that's how I met Marty. She was in the coffee shop and now here she is. Yeah. So, we promote her and help her. Oh, good. And Debbie's coming on. That's, I was just saying, I was hoping that Debbie was coming on today. So Debbie will be joining us as well. Anyway, I came to Florida this time. I try to always travel the third week of every, or no, I try not to travel the third week of every month because I am back in Ohio. I am involved in a lot of face-to-face meetup groups. And Raj will get this. This is all about real estate back in Ohio. And so when you're dealing in real estate, oftentimes it has to be a little more local because, you know, you need that roofer and that plumber and that electrician and, you know, they're not going to travel too far away if you're doing everything internationally, of course. So so that's a lot more local. And so when I'm back in Ohio, I do a lot of face-to-face meetups. And so that third, I've got everything kind of positioned because again, we talk a lot about reverse engineering the life that we want to live and how we want that to look. And so I want to do those face to face. So I kind of engineered my life that those all kind of hit about that third week of the month. So of course, then all of my real estate income, because that's my passive income, is the rentals. All of that hits the first week of every month. So that opens up the second week and the fourth week for me to travel. And so this particular month, even though we're now in the fourth week, and so I can Zoom from anywhere, I love that. And so I can always do this call no matter where I am. But I did have to travel a little bit on the third week this month because of my book launch over in Miami, and I didn't get to pick the dates. Somebody else got to do that. It was not my event. My publisher and her partner, they have a company called Mindset to Millions is the name of their company. And my publisher is involved in that organization. And so the organization itself put on a 2-day, I'll call it conference, expo, whatever. And my book this time was all about biohacking entrepreneur. And being a biohacking entrepreneur, it's like how did you work on your health outside the traditional medical methods? And so for me, I was able to really get my health under control by using a little biohacking concept called intermittent fasting. Some doctors will endorse it. Some doctors will go, well, if it works for you, go ahead. But again, in the medically trained field, oftentimes, that's not how they don't lead with intermittent fasting to solve some of your problems. And today is not a health and wellness call, so I will not do a deep dive into intermittent fasting. But just know that the whole conference was called Biohacking and Business Conference. So a ton of modalities that are outside the medical realm. I mean, everything from massage therapy to red light therapy to different waters, you know, mineral waters. I mean, we're talking all kinds of modalities that most medical doctors don't lead with. So it was a great conference, but that's why I was traveling a week that I normally don't travel. And so now I'm playing catch up, but I love that. Ruth, we have you here. Come on up if you can. I'm going to at least click in that she can chat with us. But Ruth, you're welcome to click the button and come on over so we can see you as well. Oh, she declined. Okay. Ruth, can you hear us okay?
Yes.
Okay, good, good, good. We're glad you're here. Thank you. Ruth is also one of my co-hosts, and Carmela is here, and she is one of my co-hosts. Oh, Carmela, I love those earrings. Look at you, glittery girl.
Thank you.
Yeah, I had to wear all the jewelry and all that for my book launch. But anyway, I was in the book called Biohacking Entrepreneur, and the book officially launched this past weekend. We were all in the Miami area. It was a wonderful trip, but we're exhausted because if you've ever gone to conferences or expos, you know it's just a lot coming at you. By nature, I'm an introvert. I know people disagree with me on that, but by nature, I am definitely an introvert. So I was ready to go just put a bag over my head and hide in the corner for a while to just, you know, get my energy back, because it's so draining to have so much coming at you from so many different folks. And it was just a crazy busy 2 or 3 days. But anyway, it was fun. I learned a lot. I made a lot of connections. But the thing that I noticed the most about the conference, which is why I'm still talking about it, is it was all about elevating the authors and the sponsors. And through that, it elevated, of course, all of the attendees, because all of the attendees, they were learning more. Ruth's been to this conference with me. It's different. The focus is different every year because it depends on what books are launching and what the topics in the books are as to who the vendors are. Since this one was biohacking, it was all the biohacking modalities. So it was just a lot of information, and information that I didn't have before I went to it. So it was a great conference. And anyway, now I'm coming down from it. Oh. So we're going to go walk on the beach today. You know, we're back over in the Sarasota side, the quiet side of Florida. You know, over there, it's just crazy. The traffic is crazy, you know, 10 lane freeways. And even when you go to the beach, you have the sound of the waves that we don't have on our side of Florida here on the Sun Coast. And it was just a much noisier, busier side of Florida. And of course, we're right at the edge of Miami, which is a huge city. So you get it. It was all that. So anyway, now we're back. We're coming down. We're relaxing a little bit, you know, getting the laundry done. You know, just kind of it's we slept in a little bit this morning because there I had to be up at like 5:30 or 6, you know, the whole time we were there to be underway with the conference. I was a speaker on at different times during in and out of the day. So anyway, but it was all about elevating. And when we talk about connections over coffee, we and I'm going to share my screen for just a moment. So for those of you that are listening, you'll understand what this particular group is all about. And so here is let me go to the top. This is our meetup group, and you can find us on Meetup. We're also on Facebook, but you can find us on Meetup, and it's Connections Over Coffee, Our Time to Rise. It's about building connections and creating a world full of giving. And that's probably the fastest way that we can elevate someone is to give. But this is what we're about. And I'm just going to come down to the 4 steps. We want to reconnect with what makes us tick, our genuine, authentic selves. Then we want to impact, which is to transform our life into a blockbuster life on who we really are so that we can make impacts around the world. But then we have to storify. We have to craft our story so we can say, once upon a time, here's where I was. But then I discovered this about the world, and now I want to share it with you. And then finally, elevate to be the rock star who actively inspires others to join in the celebration. So the reason I wanted to share that is today's topic is Elevate. And the reason I wanted to share that first is because this weekend was all about elevating these authors and their individual messages. Because the book that I just launched was a collaborative effort, and there were 12 different authors in this book. And each author had a separate message that they were bringing to the world. And this conference was a way to elevate all of our messages. Now, in the past, Ruth has been at the conference. She was involved with this group, and she was at the conference. Oh gosh, Ruth, how many years ago was that you were there? 3 years, maybe 3 years ago? I see she's got her mic muted. She's probably multitasking. But Ruth attended with me. Yeah, Ruth, was it about 3 years ago that you were there at that conference?
It might have been four, three or
Four,
four.
yeah. With Wendy. And I don't know that you were I don't know that you knew Patricia at the time, because I think Patricia has just come on since you were there. I don't know that Patricia was involved then, which is the publisher. Was she involved when you were there?
He actually was involved with that first collaborative book, but I
Okay.
wasn't part of that. I was just another speaker. I was a speaker at the event
Yes,
because
Ruth
of
was on
another.
stage.
Yeah.
Yes. So anyway, I really I went to Benny's on the beach and I thought of you and Tom.
That was a fun place.
Yes,
But I
we're
agree with you totally. There, I like the other side of Florida much better than Atlantic side.
now don't get me wrong, the beach is the beach, and I loved being at the beach, and I love Benny's on the beach, and we love all the stuff about being by the ocean. But like Ruth, if I had to pick between the Atlantic side and the Gulf side, I would pick the Gulf side because it's just a little more calm. But anyway, so it's all about elevating the folks that were there. They get a turn to speak on stage. They get a turn to show what their message is. And the reason I was hoping that Debbie was on the call today, and Debbie, thank you for being here. The reason I was hoping Debbie was on the call today is that Debbie is writing a book about legacy, and she's writing her legacy in her memoir. And Debbie, you're not going to believe this. The book, collaborative book for next year is called Think Legacy. That is
No,
the title of the
really?
book. And so I just wanted to toss it out there. If you wanted a boost to what you're doing, if you could just condense your entire story into a chapter, hitting the high points, if you will, once upon a time, and then here's what I discovered, and now here's what I'm doing. Carmela has to step away for a moment. She's working her husband's attorney's office, so I understand. Carmela, I get it. So we'll be right here when you come back. So anyway, Debbie, if you wanted to, depending on the cost factor, you could get into that book and what it does. And again, it goes right with our concept today. You collaborate with 12 other or 11 other authors. There's only 12 of you in the book. There was only 12 of us in this book this year. And not only do you have community to help you write that chapter, but at the end of writing the chapter, and this is for anybody that thinks you might want to write and you just are not ready to like do the whole book, you can write just a chapter. You can bring your message forward. And at the end, it ends with this 2-day conference in the Miami area where you are elevated, your message is elevated, you get tons of photo opportunities. And at the end of all of that, it really launches your message because now you've got material, you've got content, you have a book, you're and one of the things with this particular publisher is that she promises that you will be a number one best-selling author. Now, the reason that that's important is because once you are a number one best-selling author, you can always use that little gold logo that says number one best-selling Amazon author. You can use that on all your books that you upload into Amazon, even if no other book ever reaches number one category. Because you are a number one best-selling author if you reach that pinnacle just once. That stays with you as an author. So, and that's the reason that I did it originally. I got into the collaborative books so that I would end up being a number one best-selling author at the other end. And then I could always use that in my author page on Amazon, no matter how many books I want to upload. And that's where I'm headed, is learning to do that end of it, to get involved. And Marty says, what's involved with getting involved with that? I can connect you. I don't have the link on me right now because I'm kind of out of my office. So I'm out of my environment right now, but I can give you the link. If you want to get involved. And they do have two books coming out next year at the same time. There were two this time. One was called Unleashed Entrepreneur, and mine was Biohacking Entrepreneur. Next year, it's going to be Think Legacy, and the second book is going to be Beyond Biohacking. And so I'm probably going to get into the Think Legacy book because it's the right progression for me. And so, Debbie, if you decide to do that, we'll be in the book together. So, anyway, it's just a great opportunity. And the other thing that I do, and this is what I do to try to help elevate what I, and it's the way I can give back. When I go to this event, and Ruth will contest to this, I try to get an Airbnb where we can all stay together. And Sherry's not on this call today, but last year, Sherry, maybe 2 years ago, I'm losing track of what year it was. Sherry was in she's my co-author in another one of my Zoom calls, and she was in the Becoming You book, and so she stayed with us at the Airbnb that year. And Ruth, we took her to Benny's on the beach because we love Benny's. It's just a fun little place down there in Miami. So anyway, I just want to put that out there to everyone, that it's all about elevating your message. And this is just an opportunity that I feel so strongly about it that I just felt that I had to share, that it is an opportunity in the future. If anybody wants to be involved, you do come out being a number one best-selling author at the other end. And it's whatever your message is. Now, here's what I want to tell you. And here's where all of us on this call, we all have a message or something that we're doing or something we're trying to promote. And again, at the end of the day, we all have to make a living. I get that. And so we're hoping, I know I am, we're all hoping that our message, we can monetize it, you know, that somebody's going to want to hear what we have to say, even if it's just as simple as selling a book. But what I do know is, we all have this message, and this is just one opportunity. And again, I don't make anything from this organization. As a matter of fact, I have to pay my share if I want to be in the book. So I don't make anything from it. I don't have an affiliate link. There's nothing like that. It's just something that I feel strongly about. If you've ever felt that you wanted to be a writer, you wanted to have a book, and you just thought, I don't have the time, I don't have the money, I don't know what to write, I don't know how to edit, I don't, then I got to do cover design, and then I have to have an ISBN number, and then my God, at the other end, I got to market the whole darn thing, and to get people to know I even have a book, and all of this is kind of done for you. Now, it doesn't come cheap. I mean, there is a price tag. But again, I haven't clicked the link to even know what the price tag is for next year yet. So I'll get all of that information if anybody's interested. So stay in touch with me if you're interested. We'll go forward. So in the meantime, when we talk about elevating our message, I want all of us think about a time when someone elevated you and how did that make a difference in your life? And I don't know about you, but I think for me, and so I'll give everybody a chance to think on that. How did someone elevate you and how did that change your world? And at any degree, it doesn't even have to be super major, but it all makes a difference. And I think for me, and I'll share my little story, is and a gal spoke on that over the weekend at this conference, is having that imposter syndrome where, you know, we're kind of creating whatever it is we're creating from the ground up, and we know that others have gone before us, and we know there's some big gurus out there, and you know, and what happens is the bigger the guru gets, and of course this is kind of the system, the bigger they get, the higher the price tag, and so the more it doesn't reach maybe some of the folks that we could reach. Because our price tag maybe is lower, or maybe we're even, you know, giving away some information. I give away a ton of information because I know that the folks that need it the most can afford it the least when it comes to passive income. That's the whole reason they're interested in passive income. And so I try to create my program so that I can give a lot of this stuff away. But the big gurus are charging big bucks, and sometimes they're even out of the price range for me. You know, I'm not going to spend $25,000 to be in a mastermind. My budget just doesn't allow that. Okay, I don't know about you, but it's not every day that I can just drop $25,000 and be in a mastermind somewhere. And some of the big real estate gurus, they're dealing in such big numbers. And when I'm at this conference this past weekend, and everybody was so impressed that I had 29 rental doors, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, in my circle, I'm a baby. You know, I rub elbows with folks all the time that have 100 rental doors or 500 rental doors, and they look at me and go, you only got 29? What's wrong with you? But in this past weekend, everybody was like, oh my gosh, 29. I can't believe, because some of them didn't have any. So 29, you know, so again, it's all relative. And I guess that's what I'm saying. So don't think that your message isn't important. But for me, that imposter syndrome was very real when I started because I thought, who am I to try to tell somebody how to buy a piece, you know, to buy a rental when the people I hang out with have 500, you know? They should be teaching the class, not me. And so I think what happened when I had a group of gals around me, guys and gals, and they nominated me to be Entrepreneur of the Year through our local chamber. And it was organizations like that and folks like that that just have something so simple and really not that big of a deal in the scheme of things that just starts to allow you to step into your authenticity and to look in the mirror and to say, I do have a message that's going to help some folks. You know, not everyone is going to be your tribe. Not everyone is going to gravitate toward you for the answer, but your tribe is already out there and they already need your answer. They already have your question needing your answer. So being nominated for something like that elevated my opinion of myself. Does that make sense? Just being nominated. And so going to an event like I just came from, where it was the book launch and you know the whole organization was all about elevating those authors that were in these book projects, it just made you feel like maybe my message is important. Because I think sometimes we're our own worst enemy and we talk ourselves out of what we think we're supposed to be doing because we look at ourselves and go, who am I to bring this message? Who am I to, you know, to be the guru in the space on whatever your message is. So think about and me winning the, you know, getting the Entrepreneur of the Year award just helped elevate my opinion of myself, if that makes sense. So think about who elevated you and how did it impact what you're doing? And I think we're going to be surprised as we go around and share just how small in some cases it was that made a difference. So who wants to jump in there and share one? Do we have somebody that right away, you know exactly? Yes, Marty, go ahead.
Sure. So the thing that came to mind as you were speaking there was actually quite a long time ago. I was waiting tables after college because halfway through college, I realized that wasn't really the track I wanted to pursue. But it was so much easier to just follow through and complete that degree. And so when I got out of college, I had a music performance degree, but I was waiting tables, figuring out what it was that I wanted to do. And I was in my fourth year of waiting tables, definitely tired of it, definitely tired of working doubles and soaking my feet and wondering what's next. And a gentleman at a table that I was servicing offered me an interview at an assisted living facility, which I never would have gone looking for myself. And I went and interviewed, and I think the administrator there favored her boss's referral, and that's who he was. And so I got the job as the activities director with no experience.
Okay.
And I ended up driving the 10-passenger bus with the two wheelchair places, taking residents shopping and out to lunch and doing chair exercise. And that was my first experience really as a coach, now that I think about it. Like I haven't really spent time thinking about this in this way. It's you bringing this up, Kathy. But I had to knock on doors and say, time to exercise and get people to the class, because it was not acceptable not to do so. And so, I've done a lot of different things over the years, but it's always been people and motivational oriented. And so that certainly ties into what I'm doing now. But I guess how it changed my world is seeing people at that stage of their life and how often their families came to visit them or not, and seeing what was actually important to them at that phase of their life. It just gave me a lot to think about at age 22, 23 that I still carry with me. And so, I think that's all I have to say about that. But it
Marty,
was,
thank you so much for sharing that.
yeah.
I do believe that all of our experiences bring us to the place where we are today. And sometimes we say, oh, that time in my life was so terrible, but what did we learn and bring forward with us from all of our experiences, no matter what the job was? And I've had jobs that I liked better than others, and neighborhoods I've lived in that I liked better than others, and houses that I've liked better than others. And but they all bring some sort of an education piece with it. We've learned some things that we still bring with us today. And I remember the last time I was in corporate America, I had a boss a lot older than myself, and I still quote things that he has said to me. He had some favorite sayings that I just heard over and over and over, and so now I use those sayings, so because it made an impression on me at the time, and it makes a lot more sense looking back than it did at the time. So I love that, Marty. That was a great share. Anyone else that had been elevated somewhere, and I know there's probably hundreds of examples we can use over the years, but anyone else want to share one that made an impact on you?
Kathy, mine's almost like yours,
Okay.
because I was nominated and won Innovator of the Year for business. And this
Okay.
for 2020, when I had to innovate. I had to do a lot of things differently because there was no business.
Yes.
So that was, and you do that thinking nobody notices. You do your business because you do what you have to do, but you think nobody notices that. So that was really nice to get that award.
I do remember when that happened, and you were quite surprised. Am I correct?
I was very surprised.
You were not expecting that, and so when you got that award, it does elevate you. Now, how once you embrace that hey, this is what this group thinks of me, how did that change you? How did that impact you?
I was a little more vocal, like you, Kathy. I tend to be an introvert, not exactly an introvert, but probably you just like to observe before you speak or before you engage in anything, which is what I like to do. But I became a little more vocal.
Do you maybe can you maybe describe being a little more vocal, maybe a little more confident?
More confident, yeah.
Yeah, like, hey, I got
I
this,
really can't do this. I can't do this.
Yeah, it gave you the confidence that I'm on the right track. I can do this thing. Yeah. I see now that my peers believe in me and they see that I can do it, so it helps you believe that you can do it. It helps you believe in yourself. Yeah. Yes, I get that. Thank you so much for that. Ruth, I see you have your hand up. Go ahead.
I think mine's sort of a combination of everything that's been said so far.
Yeah.
I can remember a time, and it's probably been 30 years ago, that I had this dear friend that gave me permission to be me. And it was in my personal life, but I still point back to that
Okay.
as the start of my personal growth journey, because it was. She basically was saying that you are important and learn to speak up for yourself. And the same lady, her name is Martha,
I remember you sharing about that in the past, and you said that kind of changed how you were going to see yourself after that. Am I right?
yes, because everybody else in my life, I was taught to always put other people first. And a lot of us were. And we lose ourselves in the process a lot of times. But the same lady ended up being my boss and brought me into HR
Okay.
as a trainer. And that, you talk about all your experiences building into this, building into who we are today. And it's a great activity to go back and spend time there and see that. because it's very evident in my life, and I think it's probably very evident in each one of our lives.
Yes.
That she ended up bringing me into HR as a trainer. My undergrad was in math ed. And she also was the one that when she retired, I took over her position as HR manager. And so all of that elevation took several different levels.
So
And
it
then
hugely impact you.
it did, exponentially over the years. Yes, it did. And she was such a mentor in my life for so many years. And so never underestimate what you're doing in somebody else's life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And oftentimes, when we're the encourager and we're the one that's trying to elevate someone else, and that's the second question, oftentimes we don't get to see the results. We don't realize maybe how we've impacted someone else. The way we can see how someone has impacted us is a lot more clear than how we've impacted someone else. So, great point there, Ruth. Thank you so much for that share. I love that. That it changed a lot of aspects of your life. It impacted you in more ways than one.
Oh yeah, personally to start out with, and then professionally. But it made me think too, Kathy, when you just said that, is if it comes to mind somebody in your life that has really impacted your life, send them a note.
Good idea. And I want to add to that a little bit. It's so easy to send a text message or a WhatsApp message or even an email, but I still like written notes. I get cards from Sally, and they're on my bulletin board. I save them. I save them, and I can't remember what people texted me last week, but I can look up on my bulletin board when I'm sitting at my computer back home, and I can see my message from Sally. So I love the written notes.
Can I add one more thing, Kathy?
Absolutely.
And that is, I'm right in the process right now of spending time re-identifying myself and see if it's changing or how it's morphing. And I think that's always important to do, to periodically look and say, okay, in this chapter of my life that I'm in right now, what does that look like? And what needs to change and what needs to stay the same?
That is a good point. I most recently, and I'm going to say within the last 12 months, I most recently looked in the mirror and I said to myself, how can I show up better in the world? That was all I asked. How can I show up better? Because, you're thinking, when you, I don't know if any of you on this call have gone to a county fair recently, but oh my, have you just sat on the bench and watch the people and just done some people watching, or even at the local mall and just sat and just did some people watching. I'm like, do they have a mirror at their house? And you know what? I'm all about being comfortable and I'm all about being authentic, but I made the decision that I wanted to show up better in the world. And it was a choice. It was a choice. I just decided I wanted to show up the best version of myself. And I'm getting affirmation that it's working because I have so many people say, "Oh my gosh, you're getting younger. You're getting better as you get older." And the only thing I changed is I just decided I wanted to show up as my best self anytime that I go out. I just want to show up better. And it was such a small decision. But it's made such a huge impact in my world. Carmela had her hand up. Carmela, how about you?
Wow. Well, with me, it's kind of like I feel like sometimes I'm always the abnormal one, but it was when I was working actually in retail at Cracker Barrel, and the one manager there, it's like he always threw me in something, but I was really a good people person. And I didn't realize then my mentoring started there, where I would help other people. Well, then my direct supervisor, I became her right-hand woman, I guess, right-hand man. So when she wasn't there, they put me in charge. And what was really crazy and good for me was normally they would bring in someone else from another store when the actual manager was out. They didn't this time. They threw me there. They said, Carmela, we know you could handle it. So they didn't have, they said, if you need anybody, this is who you can call. But I did everything. And the girls that struggled, I may have had them come in maybe 15 minutes early and I sat down and worked with them. But throughout my life, someone has always sent someone for me to mentor. And I think I mentioned sometimes young girls, even through, and when their college years, and I still have that connection with some of them. Fast forward to now, 2025. I mean, I've been doing that throughout the years, but now I'm working with a friend. She started a nonprofit and working with youth, and it's Youth Connect for Mental Health because so many kids deal with, a lot of mental health issues and stuff, just having them there. And she put me with like a group of young girls, teen girls, but, just being able to mentor them and see, what are their struggles, because heck, life is different for a teen, for the young people. When my daughter was their age, and she's what, 33, and then I look back to when I was their age, how times have changed, but I'm still, there. I mean, and this is now dealing with, helping in the community where I've always, helped on the job. And in the church, dealing with youth where you're that person, and they're like, for some reason, it's like they connect with you. Kids, love you. And it's kind of funny because this past week, one of my adoptive kids, they have kids which are my adoptive grandkids since I'm still waiting. And they said, my daughter, all she talks about is like, I miss my mama Mella. I want to talk to my mama Mella, because I'm this person. It's like, she's there. It's almost like you're right up here with her child. Granted, she's two and probably doesn't know any better, to learn. But how I've morphed into this, and even to agree with, what Ruth said about sometimes sending that card, that's always been me. You can text, but there's just something about a handwritten card note. And actually, I just got one given to me yesterday, and I threw it in my purse. It was when I was leaving church, didn't look at it, and actually looked at it today when I got in the office. And it was from a lady that's a new member. She just had her sixth child, and I threw her a surprise shower with the ladies at church. And she just handwrote a nice note how much that really impacted her life and her family's life, and she was so appreciative of that. And that note meant more to me than anything because it was like she took the time to write something. And I mean, granted, it was something small on my part, but handwritten notes, I mean, people enjoy those. A lot of people, they tell me, Farley's told me that I could write for Hallmark because I send out the cards, do the notes, majority of them. So
Well, and again, a good point there is that sometimes the smallest thing in our world is huge for someone else, and a small thing in their world could end up being huge for us. So if somebody just looks at you and says, "I believe in you," and if it's a time that you're not believing in yourself, that's huge. And sometimes they don't even know the impact that it made. And I realize, again, I'll go back to this weekend that I just came off of having this book launch. I tried my best everywhere I went in that entire conference to always encourage, because there were so many folks at all different levels of trying to launch their message. Some of them were just starting. We had one gal, I won't name any names because some of you on this call, you know her, just those of you that have been to the same conference with me. She was in one of the collaborative books a couple of years ago, but now she's decided to launch her own book, and she went with Patricia, the publisher, the same publisher, because she was comfortable with her, as we often do. And she now has written her own book. Totally. She's not, it's not a collaborative one. It's all hers. And so to help promote her, they allowed her to have a booth as a sponsor, and she had a segment on stage where she was going to give a presentation all on her own. I could tell she was so nervous, and she messed up a little bit on her talk. You could tell she got a little lost. I think the idea that the whole audience was just focused on her and it was just her up there by herself. I think it kind of she had a brain lapse there for a minute, as we all do if we're in a situation like that. And you could tell she lost her place in her speech that she had rehearsed. And I just was so rooting for her, sending good vibes and prayers and, to help her get back on the right foot so that she could finish her talk. And she got through it, but I could tell it rattled her when she got lost. So I immediately found her after her talk and gave her a big hug and told her how wonderful it was and how inspiring it was, and that her message is amazing, because I wanted to elevate her because it was her message. And this was a huge step for her to get up there and give a speech. How many of us like public speaking? That's one of our what is it? The big three. That's like at the top. Things where people are afraid of public speaking more than they're afraid of dying. The statistics set show. And I thought, poor gal, she was up there and got rattled, but you know what? She hung in there. She finished, and she looked amazing doing it. And so I tried my very best to encourage her and to help her know that her message is important. I didn't want her to quit. Now, has that happened to any of us? Think about that. Have you had such a disaster somewhere that you said, "Oh, I'm never doing that again. I was such a disaster." And that's a scary thought too. But let's go on with how someone has impacted your world, and then how that made an impact on you. We haven't heard from Debbie or Linda or Roz yet. Any of the three of you have anything you'd like to share?
I will.
Okay, Debbie.
I guess listening to everybody, I never really thought about the question you were asking. And immediately I thought of one aspect, but then somebody mentioned something and I thought back and I go, I wonder if that's where it all started. And I've always been a person that has wanted to help other people. And I sat here and I was wondering, when did all that start? And I realized back when my kids were little, and I realized that where we were living, there wasn't a thing as Girl Scouts. So I decided to put a bunch of girls together and start from the beginning with the little daisies and everything. And by the third year, I came up with this idea, these kids have never been outside their backyard. So I did what anybody would do is I put together a trip up to Buffalo on a
Wow.
bus, and we spent a night sleeping on a battleship. Holy cow! But in order to afford this, we did fundraising. So that was like my first challenge. I mean, these girls were you could just see the excitement of traveling on a bus, going to this place and just having a good time and seeing things that their parents could never afford to take them to do. That was sad.
And Debbie, I bet they're still talking about that today. I bet that still comes up in conversation today.
You're right. And I wish I knew where these kids were so I could, like
Mm-hmm.
Ruth said, and I always believe in handwritten notes, even though the postage is getting ridiculous. But I guess you would say that was the start of where when I got to the point of taking care of my mom and making sure she did things that she couldn't get out to do.
I mean, I was her advocate, and you know, seeing the dementia, you know, in the final, probably year, almost a year. Whereas now, you know, it encouraged me to, or not incur, it drove me to the point of working with Amy with dementia patients. And to this day, you know, when somebody starts complaining about this person and that old person and what they're doing and what they're saying, I'm able to sit there and I can sit back and say, you know, this is really, really a best avenue for you to go on with them. And I'm not bragging or anything. It's just what I do now. I love that I can have a caring heart and share that with somebody else to help them see the other side, to see where they're at. And I had to do it with my own siblings. You know, just a funny story. My sister called and talked to my mom, and she said, my mom, she called me and said, my mom's acting weird and blah, blah, blah. So I said, okay, well, so let me call her and see what's going on. She was, I'm no lie, she was in the airport restroom changing her clothes because her and her friends were on a getting ready to get on a plane to go to France. And I'm going, yay! She
Oh,
really
wow.
wasn't, but
But
the
she
phone
thought
call,
she was. Yeah.
she thought she was, and I went with it.
Well, and that's all in that dementia training too. But Debbie, thank you so much for actually meeting her where she is and was. And I think that's what's important. And you've heard me say this before, because I teach different lanes, and in all my lanes, I always say you have to enter the conversation that's in your audience's mind, not make them enter the conversation in yours. And that's exactly what you're doing, is that you were entering the conversation in her mind, which actually gave her some peace of mind. And it kept her from being so confused. And again, a different topic, but a lot of dementia patients, you try to reason with them back to reality, and that makes them even more confused. So I get that. So good for you for understanding that and for doing that for your mom. That was huge for her, such an impact for her. And in turn, it's made an impact on you. You know, you want to do more of it. And I think we all do. The more we give, the more we want to give. I really, really, really enjoy having the passive income because it allows me to give more. And that's, again, that's where I think we all, if we follow our heart, that's where we all end up, is trying to help and give more and elevate folks around us. And in turn, their success impacts us. Anyone that we try to help, when we see it, my favorite thing is to see one of my students exceed what I'm doing. That really gets me excited. When they're doing as well as or better than I'm doing, I'm like, good for them. Good for them. I'm glad that I could be a small piece of that success for them. Anyone else? We haven't heard from Raj or Linda yet.
Yeah, I'll go ahead.
Okay, Raj.
So I'm in construction, right? So I build, you know, I'm getting into building new homes from ground up. So, you know, I did my own home that I live in just recently and have had a lot of people come in, had some get-togethers and got a lot of praise and recognition for the work I do, which to me comes second nature. But everyone else are like, wow, I can't believe you did, you know, such an innovative design. Your work is amazing, this and that. And all that does to me is just give me confidence, tell you the truth,
Yes.
to go out there and knock on doors or, you know, get more success, you know, driven, stuff like that. But as far as having a mentor, I've never really had a dedicated mentor. And I think when I was younger, I think that would have helped, you know, get me success that much sooner. But I was just not fortunate to cross paths with someone that was doing what I want to do. And, you know, take me under the wing or point me in the right direction. I kind of lacked that. I wish I had it, but I guess some are fortunate, some are not. But I do have people that I go to, like my architect or a guy who was a previous retired foreman, who's halfway senile now, but does give me good advice and stuff like that. So at least I have some form of mentorship. And they don't charge me for a master class or something like that, Whereas if you go the master class route, yeah, you'll pay it. Will you get that dedicated one-on-one? I don't think so. So I guess it's more friendship-based driven and, being there for one another, I guess, So I'm still discovering that. You never know, You find that one person who's an older person that's retired and bonds with you, and it motivates you to keep going.
Yeah, so those folks are making an impact on you, and the new builds that you're building talk about an impact. What an impact that has on that family that's going to live in that house. Oh my.
Even you have an impact on me. That's why I keep coming back here because I like how you present yourself. Even though you say you're an introvert, I don't buy that. I can't believe it. But that keeps me going. It motivates me. So I come here and listen and chat, So it's
Well, I
motivating.
appreciate you. I appreciate you being here. I really do. And the next time I'm in New York, we have to meet.
Yeah, last time you guys came, I didn't hear how your trip was. I guess I wasn't on the calls after that, but how was your visit here?
Oh, it was fun. It was fun. I love New York. I love New York City, and we went and saw some shows and had a wonderful time. So, I'm definitely going to stay in touch and make sure that
Definitely
we
do.
connect.
Sure.
Yeah. So anyway, go to, and Raj, I'm going to have you do this. Go to kathybinner.com, which is my website. Scroll all the way down into the footer. You'll see a place there to contact Kathy or Kathy's team. Give me some personal contact information where I can either just pick up the phone and call you or email you or whatever you want to share, and send it over in that contact form to me. And that way I can put it in my phone and connect with you when I'm in New York. Yeah, perfect. So kathybinner.com, all the way in the footer is my contact form. So anyway, this has been great information. I love that you're sharing authentically. Linda, is there anything you'd like to share?
Sure, I can come out. Are you able to hear me?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, great. So just a few small things. I've been recognized the last several years with the beautiful crystal plaques that are sometimes given out in organizations. And that's been not my normal way of living. Usually the only way you get plaques like that is by competing, and I find contests to be completely demotivating to me as opposed to motivating. So for people that contests are their love language, those are the ones that are up on stage. But within this one organization that I work very closely with, I am recognized for my contributions, and I share knowledge, insights, expertise, and tips when appropriate. And it's been lovely to be recognized for that. Also, in regard to the handwritten letter idea that several people have mentioned, my parents owned two brick and mortar businesses. The first one started literally in our basement, and we were number one on the East Coast as a Kawasaki dealership in our basement. So, but my mother just recently received a lovely handwritten card from a girl who was our parts manager in like 1975,
Oh, wow.
approximately. So this gal is like 70 now. My mother just turned 90, and this gal sent this card, and she said, "I've never taken the time to reach out and tell you how important the time being there and learning from you was, how you formed who I became."
Wow.
The life skills and right and wrong and ethics and all the things. And then she mentioned me, which I wasn't expecting, My mom showed me the card, and she talked about how I was younger than her at the time, how I was wise beyond my years and how pivotal I was in her developing a relationship with God. And it was just so meaningful. And we never know, no matter how long delayed those messages are, how important they really are.
And that's the truth, is that oftentimes we never know the impact that we've made on other folks, and then the impact that they made on us. And so, yeah, if there's a way that you can share back with some of those folks that made an impact on you, you could be that very card that Linda's talking about, that now she realizes just how important that relationship was. And again, at the end of the day, it's all about relationships. At the end of the day. And so Carmela says, thanks for seeing everyone. She has to go and get ready for her next court case. And Marty had to get ready for a client call at one. So we're losing folks here at 1 o'clock. I get it. So anyway, but thank you so much for being with us today. This has been wonderful. I hope that it has inspired you that has been on this call to actually reach out to somebody that has impacted you and let them know. And hopefully you'll receive some cards or notices or messages or text messages or however that works to know the folks that you have impacted, because your message is important, whatever that message is. And it doesn't have to be a formal message. It can just be that you just want to help somebody get to their next level, whatever that is for them, whatever that means for them. So again, like I said earlier in the year, I just made a decision that I wanted to show up better in the world, that I did that for me, but it isn't making an impact on other folks. And other folks are saying, if Kathy can do that, I think I'm going to do that. I'm going to try to do that. So even that decision that I made for myself is making a difference for other people. So keep on keeping on. I love that you're all here. Is there any final comments or aha moments before we leave today? And Debbie, I will get you the information about the book. And again, no commitment. This is just something for you to explore to see if it's something that you might like to do. And if anybody else is interested, reach out to me, kathybinner.com. You can go again to the footer and send me a message there. That's the easy way to contact me. And I'd be happy to email you back the link so that you can explore that more if you'd like, if anyone else is interested. But it's just a wonderful experience. If you've ever thought about writing the whole collaborative book effort, it takes a lot less effort than it does to write a whole book. But it gets you in the realm of where you're trying to be. Yes, Raj.
Hey, Kathy, so you wrote this book. How did you go about writing it? Did you write it yourself? Did you hire a writer, or did you use AI?
I wrote it myself because all of these collaborative books, this is the third one that I've been in with the same publisher. They're all on a different topic. I reverse engineer it, and what I do is I wait for the topics to come out. And so again, coming up next year, it's going to be Think Legacy is the title of one book, and Beyond Biohacking is the title of the second book. And so I choose which book maybe fits my stories. And here's how I like to describe it. We all have this suitcase full of stories tucked back in the closet somewhere. And I drag it out and check out the stories, pull out two or three that might go with that topic. And then I put them in the hero's journey format. And Walt Disney does all their movies on that format. What is the movies on Netflix? They're all on that same format. It's like, once upon a time, here's where I was, but then I discovered this, and now here's how I this is the message I want to share to the world. And so once I have that hero's journey format, I just take that one story in that time and place in my life, and I just make my whatever number of words it needs to be, I just put it into that format. And then part of this particular publisher, part of the price point is that She sends it out to her editor, and she has an editor that edits all of those stories together
Okay.
to make them flow in a collaborative book project.
So the publisher or the lady who you mentioned, she assigned you the topic or
Yes.
how? Okay.
Yes, they come up with the title of that book.
Okay.
Then you write to the topic. And so Think Legacy is the book that I'll probably jump on board with next year. And so what I did is or what I'm going to do, I haven't on this one yet, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to look back through all of my life experiences and what can I tie into the theme of legacy.
And is that a relationship management? Like, how did you come across that publisher? What did you,
It
how do you connect?
all had to do with when and Sally has to run. I get it if you have to jump off. I understand. Thank you so much, Sally, for being with us today. What I did back in the and I do this even today. I try to be an early adapter on whatever is coming down the pike. And I don't know if you remember a year or two or four ago, there was a new app called Clubhouse that launched, and everybody was jumping on Clubhouse. And I wanted to be an early adapter, so I jumped on, and that is where I met the folks in Miami. Is the one gal, she had a room on Clubhouse, and I would join in to the Clubhouse every morning. And so for a year or two, I would tap in every morning at 8 o'clock. It was the way I'd start my day, you know. And that's where I met the publisher. She too had jumped into that room, and we got to talking on Clubhouse and developed a relationship.
Wow,
So
that's
it's all
amazing.
relationship based.
That's amazing. It's
But
home run.
I'm going to give you one quick example, and then we'll go. But
Sure.
for this past book, the topic was biohacking. I didn't even know what that meant. And I thought, well, I wanted to get into a book, but I'm not a doctor. What's biohacking even mean? So I did go over to AI and explore,
Ah.
and I said, tell me what is biohacking? You know, so I got all of this information. And then I thought, well, what am I doing in my life? What life story do I have that can tie in with biohacking? And my life story was at the time, 18 or 14 months ago, right about when this book title came up, and I was deciding whether I was going to be in the book or not, was I had started down the path of intermittent fasting to regain my health back. And I thought, well, you know, by the time the book is due to launch, I'll know how this intermittent fasting thing is working for me. And so I signed on with the intent that I was going to write about intermittent fasting. And so
Wow.
my entire chapter is all about my biohack as an entrepreneur is intermittent fasting. So I wrote to the topic, but I didn't even have the topic, hadn't even unfolded in my life yet of intermittent fasting because I was just starting down that path when the title came out. So sure exactly how my legacy chapter is going to look, but I know that that's the book of the two that are coming out next year. I know that's the book I'm going to get into, and so now I'm going to just kind of you know kind of see of all of my life experiences what kind of rises to the top here in the next few months that will give me the material I need to write the chapter about legacy.
And how many pages was the last book, or how many pages did you anticipate it being?
Each chapter, and again, it all comes out to you have to have a certain margin, you know. And they send you a Google Doc and say,
Okay,
put your
right on
chapter
this.
here. They want it double spaced, so many words, a certain.
Wow.
And so each chapter comes out to somewhere between 5 and 10 pages.
Okay, that's not too bad.
No, it's
That's
not
not.
bad at all. And you're only and you only have to focus on your chapter. It's not like writing a whole book.
Oh, so it's just chap you just assigned a couple chapters of a book that they're publishing.
Yes. And
Oh, okay.
so 12 authors come together and each of the
Oh.
12 write a chapter on the topic, but each story is so different, but it's all on the same topic.
Gotcha. And I'm sure it's lucrative, right? It's they compensate you and whatnot, or you get a share of the profits or whatnot.
Actually, that's a little harder in a collaborative effort because in a collaborative effort, who's going to make the money? So what each book does is they donate the sales to whatever cause. So the first book was called to Speak, Lead, and Impact was the title of the first book. And my whole chapter was about my real estate.
Oh, wow. And you're successful at that. So that definitely.
First book. Yeah. So because the whole thing was called to speak, lead, and impact. Well, what do I speak about? What do I lead on? What is my impact? And it was all about my real estate. And so they chose Habitat for Humanity to
I
receive all
love
the proceeds of the sale of that book.
it. Okay, gotcha.
Okay.
Because you're well versed in various things, writing now and real estate, and you're in health now, health and wealth. So I think I mentioned this before. I have a good friend who's from Philly, who's a real estate broker, and she's a fanatic about AI.
Okay.
I was wondering, maybe you might want to have a chat with her and have her as a
Okay.
guest speaker in the future. Whenever
Okay.
you have availability, she is an early adapter of AI, and she has her own meetup group every Wednesday at 1. So maybe you might want to visit and attend her group on Wednesday at 1 o'clock. She doesn't have a lot of followers yet, and I'm trying to promote her and help her cross market her with other groups like yours.
Oh,
And
and see, look at the impact you're making. See?
she's
Yes.
amazing though. And the thing is, we're good friends, but I have a feeling she's gonna get snatched up and caught up, because she has attended weekend retreats with school, SKOOL, which is
Yes.
like a, yeah. So she goes to those events where people pay $80,000 for a weekend, and she's really talented, and she does the live demo and shares her screen, and she'll do anything you have in mind to explore AI and the various apps. So I think it might be a good opportunity for you to
When,
cross,
yes, and
with her.
when you connect with me, when you go to
I
kathybenner.com and
did
go
it. Yeah,
down,
I did it already.
okay. I was gonna say if you get a chance, send me some information on her, and
Okay.
I'll look her up. Yes,
Yeah.
absolutely. Yes.
All right. Sounds good.
But anyway, if you think you might be interested even in getting in one of the book projects,
That'd be great.
It's if you ever thought that you wanted to write and you just weren't sure how to get started, it's just a great way. And here's my analogy. The train has already left the station. It's going to end up at the number one bestseller town. And all you have to do if you are interested is just get on the train.
Yeah,
You know,
definitely.
you just got to get on because it's going whether you get on or not. You know, there's going to be 12 people jump on and it's going to end up with those 12 being number one bestsellers and they're going to have an author's page on Amazon. And then you can elaborate or not, you know, if you just want to be a one book wonder, maybe that's the only book you'll ever get in. I've gotten in three of her collaborative books so far because I wanted to build up a little library of authorship. And again, I'll share with you where this is headed. At some point, I will probably be, I don't know that I can call myself the publisher, but I will be the center of putting together a collaborative book myself.
Nice. Yeah.
And so I just need to put the team together that knows how to get it uploaded and put the cover page on it and all of that. So I will be building a team to do that within my organization at some point.
So I published a book back in
Okay.
2000, but it's more
Okay.
of a business-to-business directory of an ethnic community in America, North America. But that's it.
That's
Been
okay though.
done,
That's
and
okay.
no online presence. It's when before, online became a big thing, but I haven't gone back to it again. But now, fast forward to now, although I'm in construction and real estate, I have some friends that are out in the United Kingdom that are
Okay.
talented video directors. They make music videos, like hip hop music videos. And we always talked about making a movie one day, but the budgets are out of hand. So that's a whole nother chapter, finding financing for that. But I've been given a task by these guys, like, come up with a script and then we'll go from there. So they're all leaving it on me to write a script, which I've never written a script before, nor do I know how to make one. But I know where to get inspiration and get,
You just need the inspiration. Your
useful.
AI girl can actually
Yeah.
script.
So I haven't shared that with her yet, but that's another thing to, add on my plate on top of all the other things that I do to find time, where to find time to sit down and write. That's why I asked you that question.
But isn't it fun that we're interested in all these different things and we can explore all these things? Because there's going to come a time that you're not going to be building houses.
Yeah.
Whatever magical year that is. And
Correct.
so hang on to these other things that are a part of you.
Correct. Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, I love that. Okay,
Well,
thank you so much.
thank you
I'm
so
definitely
much.
going to connect with you. Linda, thank you for hanging in there with us till the very, very end. And we will see everyone next time.
Yes. Have a great week, everyone. Bye
Yes,
now.
bye everyone.
Take care.